You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to those weeks without any music. Thank you for leading us in both instruments and voices today. This morning we are going to start a new series, a series called Kingdom Come, on what the kingdom of God is, what it's all about, and how to walk in it. As we sang, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so in these next weeks, we'll be looking at the subject of the kingdom of God and allowing his kingdom to come and his will be done in greater ways in our lives, in our church family, and for the sake of the world. Last week, we finished a series on learning to receive. Jesus said in Matthew 10, as he sent his 12 disciples out, freely you have received, now freely give. And as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of God is near or at hand. It's in your presence. So it's the idea of repenting, placing faith in Christ, and then go and demonstrate it. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the leper. For freely you have received, now freely give. And so today we continue, as last week, kind of that bridge between that series and this series, Kingdom Come. So there are many concepts in Christianity and faith that are kind of abstract. They are concepts that are both and. They're concepts that are mysterious. They're concepts that oftentimes have to be held in a place of tension. And in a rationalistic thinking Western culture, sometimes those cause us problems. They cause us consternation because it's like, well, what do we do when it says this and it says this and they seem to be both, but they seem to contradict at the same time. So how do you do it? In faith, it's one of those things that we have to recognize. There are some things that are just higher than us, that God is God and we are not, and we may not be able to fully get our minds around. Some of those topics are things like God's sovereignty. He's in control and he's moving and he has a will and a plan, but yet he's given mankind, he's given men and women and young men and women and boys and girls free will. So how does that work together? How does that tension go together? There's a mystery to it. There's a tension to it. There's those thoughts like God is in heaven, but yet he is also near at the same time. He's big and he's out there in heaven, but he's also present intimately with us. How do those two go hand in hand at the same time? And then there's that almighty one, the issue of the Trinity. One God, yet in three persons, three distinct, yet unified as one God. How does all that work? Those are things that just make our minds go, we can't get it. And for some, it'll say, well, I'm just going to throw it all away because it doesn't make sense. But there's this reality that God's bigger than we are, and there are things that are abstract that we hold in tension, things that are mysterious, things that are both ends. So as we start this series on Kingdom Come, I want to talk about one of those related to the kingdom, and that is the fact that the kingdom of God is already, but it's not yet. The kingdom of God is already present. The kingdom of God has already come, but it has not yet come. Both. They're in tension. There's mystery to it. How do both of them go together and be true at the same time? Already, but not yet. So this morning, we want to walk through this for a few moments, and then we're going to take communion. So this morning, we're going to do four things. We're going to first look at a scriptural explanation, and if you want to be turning in your Bibles, if you have one, to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 we'll be looking at. So we want to start by looking at a scriptural explanation that speaks to this, already but not yet. Then we want to draw an application from this tension for our lives. We're going to seek to try to illustrate it with a modern day illustration, and then we're going to participate in it, this reality of already but not yet, as we conclude the service this morning by taking communion together. So we're going to do those four things in an attempt to get our minds around and our experience around and allow it to change us, this concept of the kingdom of God has already come but not yet. So let's start with the scriptural explanation. Hebrews chapter 2 is one of those scriptures that gives us a small window into this truth, and the author just kind of says it. It's just there, and let's see it. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning, I'm going to read verse 5 on, but we're going to look specifically. We see this explanation in verses 8 and 9. It says, it's not, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, it's not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there's a place where someone has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. This is the writer of Hebrews quoting from Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. And then he says this, in putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Here in these two verses, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we see this idea of the already but not yet. We see the already in this way. The writer says that he put everything under his feet, the end of verse 8, which is Jesus. And it says, in putting everything under his feet, the Father, God, left nothing that is not subject to him. See, these realities have already come with Christ. The kingdom of God has already come. The Father has put everything under the feet of Jesus. And when we are talking about, when the writer is talking about putting everything under the feet of Jesus, it's this picture that Jesus is enthroned at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and everything on earth and everything in the spirit realm, all rulers, authorities, powers, everything on this earth is under him. They're in subject to him. He is the ruler over everything. And so the Father has put everything under Jesus' feet. And he says, God, in putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. So the Father put everything under Jesus' feet. The Father left nothing that is not subject to him. In other words, the kingdom has already come. Everything is under the feet of Jesus. Verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. This is referencing the fact that he left the glories of heaven, took on human flesh, and became like one of us, a little lower than the angels. And when he did this, as a result, he is now crowned with glory and honor. So we see these pictures of the already having come, the kingdom having already come with Christ. The Father put everything under the feet of Jesus. The Father left nothing that is not subject to him, and Jesus is now presently crowned with glory and honor. I don't know about you, but that says to me the kingdom has come. If there is nothing that is not under the feet of Jesus, nothing that is not under his rule, and Jesus is already crowned with glory and honor, the kingdom has already come. Amen? When did this happen? Well, let me give you a little picture line here for a second. Imagine this line as representing human history. This is really abstract here for a moment. All of human history. Here we have Jesus having come already, the already having come. When did the already come? The already of the kingdom of God has come at the cross. Look at what the end of verse 9 says. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. Why? How? Because he suffered death. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. You see, when Jesus came, he began his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, it's near, repent. And as he walked through, he demonstrated what the kingdom looks like, ultimately going to the cross, where by the grace of God, he suffered death for you and for me. He went to a cross, taking the sin burden of the world upon himself, so that his work on the cross would defeat death, would defeat sin, would defeat the enemy, so that he would be exalted to the place and given that is higher than all rule and power and authority, and would be given the name that is above every name, Jesus. See, the cross where he tasted death for everyone is where the kingdom has already come. But there is this reality still, and the rest of it says here is the not yet, because sandwiched in between all of this stuff of the Father putting everything under his feet, the Father leaving nothing that's not subject to him, the Father crowning him with glory and honor, the cross being the place where this was accomplished, we have at the end of verse 8 this phrase, yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. This is the not yet. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. Reality is, the kingdom has already come. He's been crowned with glory and honor. He's been seated at the right hand of the Father. Everything has been put under his feet. But we don't see it all that way. Leah mentioned this morning as we were in praise and worship that this world is crazy, isn't it? This world is chaotic. Things are out of control. The video that we watched at the beginning, carrying in chaos. Yet we do not see, the author says. Even though all of this has already come, we do not yet see everything being made subject to him. Because one day there will be a fulfillment of the kingdom. There will be what theologians call the consummation of the kingdom. And that will happen when Jesus Christ returns.
Amen.
And when he returns, he will return in power and he will return in glory. He will return in a way that no one will deny that he is the King of Kings and that he is the Lord of Lords. When he returns, everything that is wrong in this world, he will put back right. The kingdom will have fully come at the return of Christ. Theologians call the inauguration of the kingdom and the return of Christ the consummation of the kingdom. And so during this time, until the day when Jesus returns, we are living in this place called the not yet. We're living in this place of tension. We're living in this place where the kingdom has already come, but it has not yet already fully come, right? And some of you are like, why are we talking about this? This is a mess, right? But the kingdom has fully come, but it has not completely come. Already? But not yet. And so here we are. We live in this place, the kingdom having already come, but not yet fully. So I said a scriptural explanation. Some of you may say that's not an explanation. That's just muddying the waters even more. But yet you see it there in scripture, right? You see the kingdom having come already, but not yet. We haven't fully seen it. And so already but not yet, we said we're going to talk first about a scriptural explanation. Now we want to talk for a few moments about a practical application. What do we do? What do we do with this theological mess that puts us in this reality of it just seems like just crazy? This already but not yet. Well, what do we do? As we live in this not yet period, two suggestions. Believe first.
Amen.
We don't sit around and wait. Here's where some will go with this already but not yet. Some will go down the road of thinking, well, the world is, they'll use the phrase going to hell in a handbasket. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. So what do? We just hold on for dear life, because the only way this is going to get better is when Jesus comes back. Now, believe you have to throw out a bunch of scripture and a bunch of Jesus' commands to really adopt that position. To just say, the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and so we just sit back and, Lord, we're going to hold on tight, and we're going to just come quickly, because it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And you can unintentionally or even intentionally just sit around and wait, doing nothing in this time of the not yet. When in reality, I believe Jesus gives us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to engage. We're supposed to engage the world. Last week, if you were here, while the fullness of the kingdom has not come yet, there still is. He has given his commission to bring the kingdom in a greater way. We'll be talking along the way about kingdom prayer, Jesus praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, one day we're praying, Lord, come back so that your kingdom will fully come. But I truly believe, show my hand a little bit, I truly believe that that prayer is also an everyday present prayer. We sang it this morning. A miracle can happen here. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. The already has happened. The atmosphere is changing now. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. The already of the kingdom has happened. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is also a very much now prayer. And so we want to pray and we want to act in a way that we engage first with the Lord, that we grow in deeper relationship with him, that we're spending time in scripture, we're spending time in prayer, we're spending time waiting on God, we're spending time in worship. When we're singing songs of worship, we're not just singing them, we're saying, Lord, what we welcome your kingdom rule to come. Wherever Jesus is enthroned as king, the kingdom of God comes. And so your kingdom come, your will be done. We pursue Christ. We pursue the Father. We surrender to the work of the Spirit. We ask for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit in our lives and in our midst. We welcome him. We seek him. We pursue him. We desire to grow in him. And out of that relationship, we join him. We join him in building his kingdom here on this earth. We do it by proclaiming the gospel. We have the greatest message the world has ever heard. That God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. That at the cross, in this not yet, that we are declaring that God has made a way to reconcile humanity back to himself in a vertical relationship with him. But we also believe that that horizontal part of the cross says that there is reconciling of the world to one another. And so we believe that God desires us to demonstrate the kingdom, to demonstrate what heaven will be like in the declaring of the message, but also that we can expect the miraculous. We are a people, and we should be a people who expect that God still does miracles today, that God still heals, he still delivers, he still does the miraculous. And we need to be people who pray for the afflicted to be set free, and that we walk in the authority of Christ to be able to see it happen. That we are people who take up God's call for justice to be done on this earth and work on behalf of the oppressed because the kingdom has come. In the not yet, until it comes. We get about the business of the kingdom and we say, your will be done, your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. So in the not yet, we don't sit around and wait. But we engage. We engage in our growth in the Lord, and we engage the world. I told you then we're going to give a short modern day illustration of this. So, think about a young man and a young woman. They meet each other for the first time. And in that meeting, they realize there's more than just, hey, nice to meet you. He sees her, she sees him, and all of a sudden they're like, there could be more to this. So they begin to spend some time together. And the more time they spend together in groups or individually, they begin to understand that there is more to this relationship that is between two people than just being friends. And they enter into a dating relationship. And as they're entering in and they're walking in this dating relationship, their relationship is developing, they're falling in love with each other until one day, that young man plans this romantic day. And they do all these things, have a nice dinner, do whatever they're going to do. And at the precise moment, he gets down on one knee and pulls out this box. And what does he say? He says, "Will you marry me?" And in that moment, she says yes, and they embrace. And there's, you know, the birds are flying all over, you know, and the hallelujah chorus is going. And this is just like the greatest moment in human history for these two. There is this moment that there is an already. There's an initiation. There is a relationship that has been said, this is going to be for the rest of our lives. In biblical days, that engagement idea would have meant this is a binding, non-breakable thing. It's as if it is already done. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It doesn't stop with engagement. There are plans to be made. They are not yet married. Right? If we say in this illustration that engagement is like the cross and the wedding day is like the return of Christ, they're in that not yet. They don't just sit back and say, how many days until we get married? If they did, there's going to be a lot of tension. They don't just sit around. They don't just wait until the wedding day. They have wedding plans to make. They have registry for items to be able to prepare for their home and their life together. They have premarital counseling with the pastor who is going to be marrying them. And all the while, they are growing in love for each other. Most likely, as they're going through this process, they're finding more out about each other. They're hitting some roadblocks along the way because wedding preparation can be a stressful time. And so you're hitting these things. And through it all, though, they're working on their marriage that is yet to be fully completed. They are growing in love for each other. They're working through conflicts together. They're both being purified as they are preparing. Yet, they are not fully experiencing all the privileges of marriage. That doesn't happen until their wedding day, when they, in the presence of God and these witnesses, say, "Forever till death do us part." That moment, become husband and wife. And now the full realities of marriage are open to them. There is the full fulfillment. What was just and already, yet they were experiencing much of that relationship, is now complete. The already and the not yet. Friends, I hope over these next weeks that we get a greater and greater understanding that the kingdom has already come. And because the kingdom has already come, man, I want to see as much of the kingdom here on earth as we can until the day when Jesus comes and completes the work. Will we ever have heaven on earth perfectly? Till Jesus comes? No. But you know what? We are called to be his ambassadors to bring the kingdom reign and rule of God more to this earth. To allow the will of God to be done in greater and greater ways here on this earth as in heaven. And so until then, as we wrestle and as we live in this day of not yet, looking forward to the return of Christ, may we see his kingdom come and his will be done in greater ways here on this earth as it is in heaven. I told you at the beginning then that we're going to talk about a scriptural explanation. We're going to talk about a modern day illustration, and then we're going to engage in some participation. in the book of 1 Corinthians. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. The Apostle Paul, in talking about communion, says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul, the writer of 1 Corinthians, adds this. He says, "For whenever you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Do you see already and not yet here? We see Jesus on the cross having his body broken for us, having his blood shed for us as the new covenant to welcome the kingdom, rule, and reign of God into this place. Until the day that he comes. Jesus said when he took this with his disciples, he said, "I've been looking forward to this. Because after this, I will not eat of the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine until I come into my kingdom." What's he talking about? He's talking about his return. He's talking about the day when we will gather together for the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we will be with him forever and ever and ever. And the fullness of his kingdom will be known. So this morning, as we celebrate communion, may we recognize that the kingdom has already come because of the body broken for us and the blood shed for us. May it be a time for us to also engage the one who is present with us by his Spirit, looking forward to the day when he will return and we will be with him forever and ever and ever, and the kingdom will be consummated. What has been inaugurated with his coming and the work of the cross, it will be consummated and completed. The kingdom will fully come. The joy of this is you don't have to be a regular attender of this church. It's simply those who have entered into the kingdom, into the family of God, who have trusted Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Communion table is open to all who have trusted Christ. So this morning we want to just take a few moments to turn our affections in remembrance and in celebration of our King, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would tear off that little top layer and take the bread wafer out. Through the work of Jesus on the cross, through his body given for us, through the sin of the world, the shame of the world, the disease of the world, laid upon his physical body, the kingdom has already come. And so in celebration and in worship of our King, who through his body has already brought the kingdom, and one day will bring it in fullness, let us eat in celebration and worship of our King. Let us eat together. Let me encourage you just to take a moment of worship and thanks, of taking telling Jesus of your thanks to him of giving his body for us, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for us. Take a moment personally with him. You would peel off that second layer. After supper, Jesus took the cup. As he gave it to his disciples to drink, he said, "This cup represents the new covenant, the new way in which mankind and God will relate to one another because of the cross, because of the work, that through his blood, a once for all sacrifice would be made." And so through his blood shed for us, the forgiveness of our sin, for the scriptures say without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Through the shedding of his blood, the kingdom of God has already come. Relationship with God has been made possible until the day when he returns and the fullness of his kingdom has come. In remembrance and in celebration of our King, let us drink together. I encourage you to take another moment or two personally with the Lord, of thanking him for the blood that has been shed for the forgiveness of our sin and a right relationship with the Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, we celebrate you as we partake of the bread and the cup together. We celebrate your perfect, complete, and finished work on the cross. We thank you that through your work on the cross, you are now enthroned in heaven, that you are our great high priest, you are our mediator, you are the way and the truth and the life, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For you are the way to the Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That everything has been put under your feet. That there is nothing that has not been put under your feet in all of creation. And that you are already crowned with glory and honor. And it's because of that that we declare you our King, our Lord, and the ruler of all. Recognizing fully that we do not yet fully see this, but one day it is our glorious hope that you will return in power and glory, and the fullness of your kingdom will come on that day. And all that is wrong in this world will be made right. We will rule and reign with you forever and ever and ever. What glorious hope that is. And until that day, may we live in the tension of the not yet, engaging our world, engaging and growing in Christ, engaging with one another as fellow believers, and engaging our world. Father, May communion not just be a moment that we pause to look vertically in our relationship with you, but may it also allow us to see the broken and lost world around us. May more come to know Jesus, just as you have brought us to yourself. We celebrate you, we worship you, and we pray your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen.
Please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together.
With fire, the whole earth shakes.
So Hosanna is both a declaration of praise. Hosanna in the highest, exalted, glorified, praised, highest praise. But it's also a cry, save us. And so it is both. We call out to the Lord, you are high and exalted and lifted up in praise. Come save us. In other words, come, may your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and through our lives. Heal my heart and make me clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Help me live like you and see others like you do. I know it's such a difficult concept to get, already but not yet. But may we pray, Lord, open up my eyes to see that you've already come, your kingdom has come, that we might live, that your kingdom will come in greater ways until the day you return. Since we believe that the kingdom has already come, if there are needs in your life, whether they are physical, whether they are emotional, whether they are spiritual, whatever they may be, we believe that our God answers prayer and that he ministers to his people. And so I invite you, if there are needs in your life, that you be free to come forward at the conclusion of the service to be prayed for, anointed with oil if need be. But we want to open that time to make sure that if there are needs, since the kingdom has already come, we say, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. This is what we'd love to see, but we want your kingdom and your will to be done. We surrender to you. I invite you to come for prayer if you are in need. So as you go knowing that the kingdom has already come. So because of it, you, as believers in Jesus Christ, you are ambassadors of his kingdom. Go carry his presence to a world in need until the king returns to bring his kingdom in fullness. Go in his name, go in his peace, go in his authority for his glory. Amen. Lord bless you.